Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, all right. I don't know.
I'm not a sound guy.
I think that's a little close. Okay. Anyway, good morning, and it's a thrill to be back and share our Lord Jesus with you. I remind my heart, I remind you of that principle of Bible study that is indispensable, and that's total reliance on the Holy Spirit. The one who lives in your heart, the one who lives in my heart, lives there to open this written word and point us to Christ, the living word. We've come to see Christ. John 16 and verse 14. And this is speaking of the precious Holy Spirit. And Jesus said, "He shall glorify me. He shall take of mine and disclose it to you." And just to make clear, I don't pretend to be the teacher here. The Holy Spirit is going to take the things of Christ, and He will disclose it to you. I have a privilege of allowing Him to do that, but it's the Lord Himself who must be our teacher. So let's bow together and commit our time to Him, and then we'll look in the Word. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the indwelling Holy Spirit. We trust you this morning to unveil the Lord Jesus in a fresh and living way to our heart. We ask you to work reality in us. We don't want theory. We don't want rules and regulations. We want life. And we thank you that you are the life. And so turn our eyes again, even as we've sung, to the Lord Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, that you're doing it now, and you're going to continue to do it in an ever-rising tide of blessing, because Jesus deserves it, and we claim it in his name. Amen. All right, let me review a little bit. We're looking at what I believe is the Holy Spirit's revelation of the Lord Jesus in the Gospel of Mark. We're focused on Mark, but we'll be in other places as well. I think Mark, more than any other Gospel writer, Matthew and Luke and John, presents the Lord Jesus as the amazing servant. When he lived his life on earth in his first body, I make a big difference between his life in his first body, his incarnate body, the body given by God through the Virgin Mary. He lived in that body for 33 and a half years, and now he has a new body. It's the same Jesus, and he's still alive, and he lives now in us. This little book of Mark is filled with the activity, with the movement, with the service of the Lord Jesus. When you go through Mark, there's 18 different miracles that Mark records in those short chapters. And 10 occasions when he worked mass miracles, Mark refers to. So he was the amazing servant when he lived on the earth, and he was producing everywhere he went awe and wonder and amazement. People were just astounded. Now, the point of our introduction lesson last night is Jesus is the servant, not me. Jesus is the servant, not you. And we talk about serving the Lord, but in reality, we're allowing Him to live again as He once lived on the earth. Mark 10:45 when he came to earth, even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for men. When he came to earth, he came to serve. When he came to your heart, he came to serve. He serves you and then serves through you. We need to understand that because it's so basic to the Christian experience, and I have been terribly burned in Christian service by not knowing that earlier. And I thought, actually, that he called me to be the servant, and I went out and tried my best to do that. So we're studying Mark not to gain principles and note characteristics of his amazing service so that we can copy him. Imitating Christ is a task impossible. You can't do it, and I can't do it. He's the amazing servant, and he lives in my heart to do it again. Will you please excuse me for a moment? That introduction holds. But this is the next lesson. You can hold that in.
I didn't scramble your notes, Mr. Ed.
Thank you.
Authority by Mark
and he would send them out to preach and to have authority over the demons. Note the words, please. He sent them out to have authority. That's what he said. But what did he mean? Sometimes when he says something, we can think he means a certain thing, and yet he doesn't mean that. In Mark chapter 6, verse 7, he summoned the 12 and began to send them out in pairs, gave them authority over unclean spirits. He gave them authority. That's what it said. And as I said, sometimes we need the Lord to open our hearts to hear what he says and what he means. Because he doesn't always mean what we think he said, but he always means what he means. And so the Holy Spirit has to show us, what does he mean when he said that? He said to Mary and Martha, this sickness is not unto death. But he didn't mean that. He meant something else. He said in Luke 14:26 that we couldn't be his disciples unless we hated our father, our mother, our wife, our children, our brothers and sisters. That's what he said. That's not what he meant. He told the 10 lepers to go show themselves to the priests. He didn't mean that. He said, where are the 9? They should be here. Where are they? They went to show themselves to the priests. But he didn't mean that. He meant something else. He said that some who were alive at that time and witnessing the transfiguration wouldn't die until he came again. That's what he said. Not what he meant. In Mark 6, 12 and 13, he said, you're going to have authority. They went out, preached that men should repent. They were casting out many demons, anointing with oil many sick people, and healing them. What victory they had when he sent out the 12 and then he sent out the 70. Some manuscripts say 72. Luke 10:1. After the Lord anointed 70 others, sent them out in pairs ahead of him in every city, every place that he himself was going to come. Matthew 10:8. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. You have authority. Some suggest when he sent out the 70, we don't know how long it was. And I don't think there's a way to know, but because it says they went to many cities and many villages, that it took a long period of time. Some would suggest as much as a year. And I want you to try to picture these precious servants of the Lord. They went out and he said, cleanse the leper, heal the sick, cast out demons, raise the dead. You have authority. And so for a whole year, they did that. And he said, don't take any money. I'll provide your needs. Don't take a sword. I'll be your protector. You just go out. Have one set of clothes and one pair of sandals. And imagine what that year was like as they healed lepers, as they did miracles and healed the sick and cast out demons. Because they had authority. He said, I'm giving you authority. And they went out with all that authority. Now when they returned, they couldn't wait to get to Jesus because they thought he didn't know. They thought they went out to serve the Lord and he stayed behind. He said he'd follow later on, but they just figured he wasn't there. And so he doesn't know what happened. And they want to plan a meeting so they can tell him all that they experienced and how that authority really worked. Now, please, when you read this, don't read this la la la, because they had watched Jesus in his first body healing lepers, healing the sick, casting out demons, doing miracles. But this was the first time they had the privilege to do that. I like to say that year, if it was a year, that was quite a charismatic experience for them to go out and see all of those miracles. They went out and to sight. They said, we're going out in Jesus' name, and we have authority. We are the king's kids. Now, it's not a game. They saw results. It actually happened in every village, in every city, in every house. Miracles after miracles. God providing every day. God opening the way. Miracles being done. Demons being cast out. And Luke records their excitement when they got back. Luke 9:10. When the apostles returned, they gave an account to him of all that they had done. They went out to serve the Lord, and they did it. And it was exciting for them. And they were most excited about this part of the authority. Luke 10:17. The 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. They added in your name, but they didn't understand that yet. All they knew is, we went out and we had authority. Lord, you should have been there. You should have seen it. It was tremendous. Lepers were being cleansed and the demons, we were casting out demons. We had this great authority. Even the demons are subject to it. Thank you for that authority. It was wonderful. We know it's delegated, but Lord, it was great. What an experience. Jesus responds in verse 20, nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you. Rejoice that your names are written in heaven. It's an interesting response. You're all excited about that authority, aren't you? And even the demons are subject to you. You had great privilege. You've seen miracles. You've seen the works of God. They had a great ministry and they were convinced it was because they had authority. They went out in His name. Jesus said, you know you're saved. Your sins have been washed away by my blood. You're going to heaven. You got a reservation, your names are written down. That should be the thrill of your life. Now all of that is background for the story that I want to share with you. It's recorded in Mark 9. It's also recorded in Matthew 17. The same story is also recorded in Luke chapter 9. Most powerful illustration of what I'm praying the Lord will help me communicate. Mark 9:2, 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John and brought them up on a high mountain by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. You're familiar with this story, the transfiguration. Now, that's a glory all its own. And I'm not going to deal with the transfiguration. As wonderful as that story is, I say, that's tremendous. But what I want to do is tie it into the fact that for a year or so, they ministered in the name of the Lord with the authority. after miracle after miracle. Now they've returned, and shortly after, we have the story of the Transfiguration. Now, you know, three of the 12 were not with the other nine. He took Peter, James, and John up with him on the mountain. So nine are not with him. And so we ask, where are the nine? Where is Andrew and Philip and Bartholomew and Thomas and Matthew? Like Jesus said of the lepers, where are the nine? Where's James, the son of Thaddeus, and the son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus and Simon the Zealot and Judas? Where are they? And the answer is, while you're on the mountain getting transfigured, we'll be down here serving you. We did it for a year. We have authority. This is going to be tremendous. So they're at the bottom of the mountain. And what were they doing? They were serving the Lord. Mark 9:14. When they came back to the disciples, they saw a large crowd around them, some scribes arguing with them. And immediately, when the entire crowd saw him, they were amazed and began running up to greet him. And he asked them, "What are you discussing with them?" And one of the crowd answered him, "Teacher, I brought you my son, possessed with a spirit which makes him mute. And whenever it seizes him, it slams him to the ground. He foams at the mouth. He grinds his teeth. He stiffens out. I told your disciples to cast it out, and they could not do it." I want you to understand the arrangement, the Holy Spirit, by putting this in right after their return from a victorious year. According to the record, at first, the Father told them, "Cast it out." And then the Father came again, and the Bible says the Father asked them to cast it out. And then in Luke 9:40, "I begged your disciples to cast it out." And those who study the original language tell us in the Greek, it's over and over and over again. This desperate father came to these professional servants of the Lord. And at first they said, "Cast out, look at my son, cast out the demon." And then they said, "Will you please cast out the demon?" And then the father's begging, please, over and over, not once or twice, but many, many times. Now, I'm not judging the hearts of these nine. I'm not judging their intentions and their motives. They had experienced a year of miracle after miracle. They saw the dead raised. Maybe even Judas raised somebody from the dead. We don't know. But they had a tremendous year witnessing signs and wonders and marvelous things every day, every city, every village, every house. Now standing before them is a broken-hearted father with an only son. And that son has been tormented since he was a child. Evil spirit in him. It grabs him. It slams him down. He screams. He goes mute. He goes into convulsion. He's foaming at the mouth. He grinds his teeth. And they said, "You guys are professionals. You're the ministers of Christ. You have authority. Do it. Help me, please. This is my son." And so the disciples, I don't know their attitude, but they tried. They tried what they had done successfully for a whole year. And all of a sudden, they lost their power. They lost their authority. It didn't work. And the more they tried, the more the crowd grew, coming around, watching them fail. They're trying their hardest to cast out this demon. Meanwhile, Jesus is up there, he's being transfigured. The boy is rolling over and over. He's in a convulsion. Don't read this, la la la. It's a pitiful record, really. Super confusing to the 9 disciples. They later came to Jesus and said, what happened? What happened? How come it didn't work? A huge discussion begins to take place. Mark 9:14, when they came back to the disciples, they saw a large crowd around them. Some scribes arguing with them. You see, everybody had a different explanation for why it didn't work this time. The disciples are helpless. Maybe I'm reading this in, but I think they're a little embarrassed. They had such success for a whole year. Now they're trying. The father's brokenhearted. He's disappointed. The enemies are gloating. They're making fun of them. What happened to the authority? What happened? I'm going to send you out with authority. They're trying to serve the Lord with that same authority, but all of the excitement of their missionary journey in the past year suddenly comes to nothing. Now they're standing helpless in a world of unbelievers and believers, disappointed, frustrated, discouraged, and I think embarrassed. Everyone's watching as they keep trying, and I don't know the words they use, in the name of Jesus, come on. I don't know the words. I just know they kept trying and trying and trying. Now, bear with me, please. I'm going to leave the story for a minute. I'll return to it. But I want you to understand the ministry of the Lord Jesus when he was in his first body. When he was in his incarnate body. I'll ask this question up front and I'll try to answer. Did Jesus have authority when he ministered in his first body? Might be surprised at the answer. Listen carefully to the words of the Lord Jesus as he describes his own ministry. John 5:17. He answered them, my Father is working until now, and I myself am working. John 5:19. Therefore Jesus answered and was saying to them, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself unless it's something he sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does in like manner. The Father loves the Son and shows him all things he himself is doing. And the Father will show him greater works than these, so that you will marvel. John 5:30, Jesus is speaking, I can do nothing on my own initiative. As I hear, I judge. My judgment is just because I do not seek my own will, but the will of him that sent me. Did Jesus have authority on the earth? When he fed the multitude, was that him feeding the multitude or God the Father working in him feeding the multitude? Who did the miracles? When he calmed the sea, when he worked any miracle, cleansed the leper. John 10:37. If I do not the works of my Father, do not believe me. If I do them, though you don't believe me, believe the works, that you may know and understand that the Father is in me, and I am in the Father. John 5:19. Jesus answered and was saying, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself unless it's something he sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, these things the Son does in like manner. I say it's important to hear the testimony of Jesus, because when he lived on the earth in his first body, he had no authority. He had to trust the one who lived inside him. And as he trusted the one who lived inside him, God worked through him. Let me come back to the Transfiguration. Everything's confusion here now. The Father's heartbroken. The child is a victim of Satan. Disciples are standing around with egg on their face. They tried to serve, it didn't work. Mark chapter 9, verse 25. When Jesus saw a crowd was rapidly gathering, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, you deaf and mute spirit, I command you to come out of him. Do not enter him again. Jesus addressed that demon, you deaf and mute spirit. Why did he use that description? Why did he call the spirit deaf and mute? The unclean spirit, his malicious effect on this child, wouldn't lead you in any way to think that the child was deaf and mute. It's true, the father said that he starts off screaming when he's attacked, and then he goes silent, goes into a convulsion. But there's nothing mentioned about the child going deaf. That's not there. Not a word about that. Again, I speak as a fool, but I would have expected Jesus to say, come out of him, you malicious demon, you bully, you terrible person, you violent spirit. Come on out of him. You're a cruel master. You're a tormentor. It just sort of shocks me to say, you deaf and mute spirit, come out of him. Let me make a suggestion. Do you notice what happened when Jesus gave the command? Mark 9:25, Jesus saw a crowd was gathering. He rebuked the unclean spirit, saying, you deaf and mute spirit, I command you to come out and do not enter him again. When Jesus spoke with authority, do you think the evil spirit said, say that again, I'm a little hard of hearing. I'm deaf. I don't know what exactly you said. Could you speak a little louder, please? I'm a deaf spirit. I'll tell you, when Jesus speaks, everybody hears. Even Lazarus sits up in his grave when Jesus speaks. The spirit was not deaf and dumb to Jesus. To whom was the spirit deaf and dumb? And the answer is to those 9 disciples. See, they were commanding the spirit to come out of them. That evil spirit didn't listen to them. He's deaf to any of their commands because they have no authority. None whatsoever. Brothers and sisters in Christ, and those who might listen later by mechanical means, the devil doesn't have to listen to me. And the devil doesn't have to listen to you. He's deaf to you. He doesn't recognize your authority. Doesn't recognize my authority. He can ignore you. He doesn't have to give you the time of day. He doesn't doesn't have to give me the time of day. He can't ignore Jesus. He can't even go into a pig unless he gets permission from the Lord Jesus. Jesus is king. He has authority, absolute authority. You see, these disciples, they saw Jesus do it. And then they thought he sent them out to do it. The fact is, last verse in Mark 16:20, they went out and preached everywhere while the Lord worked with them. Do you think they could have cleansed a leper? Who cleansed a leper? It was Jesus. Who raised the dead? It was Jesus. Who cast out the demon? They thought it was them. It wasn't them. It was the Lord Jesus in them. Here's the simple truth that most Christians, or many Christians, struggle with. It's so simple. Listen carefully. Only God can do what only God can do. And it's so simple. Only God can do what only God can do. And he does not empower you to do it. He doesn't empower me to do it. He doesn't give me authority or you authority. There's a teaching out there, and I don't know if it's coming here, but it's that we are the king's kids, and we have kingdom authority. And we have a right, and so some would go so far, you have authority, you can command that disease to leave. You can command that sickness to leave. You can cast out that demon. You can control that storm. You're in charge, even over that. Use your authority. And then if you don't, it doesn't work, then they say, oh, you of little faith. You didn't have enough faith. If you only had enough faith, then it would have happened. And then it goes round and round and round. Jesus ministered in his first body, and he did not have authority. He had to trust the one who lived inside him, who has all the authority. Nothing has changed in his new body. Matthew 28:18. Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go you, therefore. Who has authority? All authority in heaven and earth is given to him. And as Jesus in his first body had no authority but to depend on the one who lived in him, his Father, who had all authority, and he would do the work. So now he says, as the Father sent me, I'm sending you. And you have within you. You say, don't I have authority? It's better than that. You have the one who has all authority living in you. You don't need something called authority. You have Christ, and he lives in you. He has all authority in heaven and on earth. He doesn't expect us to go out with something called authority. He called you to go out and rest and trust and believe in the one who's in your heart. He's the servant, and if he wants to heal, he will heal. And if he wants to raise the dead, they will rise again. And if he wants to cast a demon out, it'll be cast out. But he's got to do it. He's the one with all authority. And all means all. If we say all authority is his in heaven and earth, there's none left for me. He got it all. If he has it all, you can't have any. I can't have any. And he has it all. He sustains this universe every day by his authority. All the governments of the world, he has appointed. Listen to Daniel 2:20. Daniel said, let the name of God be blessed forever and ever, for wisdom and power belongs to Him. It's He who changes the times and the epochs. He removes kings, establishes kings. He gives wisdom to the wise men and knowledge to men of understanding. All authority in heaven and earth belongs to Jesus. Psalm 50, verse 10 and 11. Every beast of the field is mine, and everything that moves in the forest is mine. All the insects, everything. I have authority over everything. Matthew 10, 29. Are not two sparrows sold for a cent? Not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. Picture, if you can, a little bird, a little sparrow, in some branch of some tree in some distant jungle in New Guinea or Africa someplace, and it's time for that little bird to die. And that bird falls off the branch. Nobody there to hear the bird except the Lord. And that bird falls by the authority of God. All authority in heaven and earth. Because you're united to Him. Ephesians 1:22, far above all rule and authority you've been raised. All power and dominion and every name that's named, not only in this age, but in the age to come. Christ is the one who has all authority. In the first lesson, I tried to show you, you're not the servant, He is. And in this lesson, I want you to learn, you have no authority. You have Him. He has all authority. You don't need authority. You wouldn't know what to do with it if you had it. I wouldn't know what to do with it if I had it. All authority is His over sinful men, over history, over death, over Satan, over Supreme Court decisions, over everything. He has authority. And I'm so glad that, and He doesn't care a whit about my reputation as a servant. He'll let me go down in flames like He let them go down in flames. They were embarrassed because they tried so hard and it didn't work. And it's about His reputation. It's about His name. And whatever it takes, He's going to defend His name. I read an interesting statement by Dr. Strong in the Strong's Concordance, you know, that Methodist theologian. Anyway, he said, Satan's cunning and daring are on the increase through human history. Sometimes I read those things, I say, what are they really saying? I think what he's saying is Satan learns by experience. God doesn't have to learn by experience. When Adam and Eve were in the garden, according to Genesis 3:1, Satan was the most cunning of all the creation of God. When Satan tempted Jesus in the wilderness, he was 2,000 years more cunning than he was in the garden. And now it's 2022 and Satan comes to Ed Miller. And he is another 2,000 years more cunning. My history, 79 years. I haven't learned much in 79 years. But do I think I have the authority to stand up with him who has been learning by experience, who is so evil, and he's been learning for 6 or 7 or 8,000 years? It's ridiculous. I think to surrender what we think is our authority. Jesus has all authority, heaven and earth. You have Him. Jesus has all authority in heaven and earth. I have Him. I have Him. And so, in one sense, I have authority, but it's having the Lord. That's our authority. Mark 9, verse 19. He answered them and said, O unbelieving generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you? And they brought the boy to Jesus. I'll tell you what real ministry is. It's bringing the boy to Jesus. It's bringing the situation to Jesus. Jesus addressed the Father. Mark 9:21. He asked the Father, how long has this been happening? And he said, from childhood. It's often thrown in both into the fire and into the water to destroy it. But if you can do anything, take pity on us. Help us. Jesus said to him, if you can. I love that. If you can, all things are possible with God. And the Father responded, Mark 9:24. He immediately cried out, I do believe. Help my unbelief. Later the disciples in Matthew 17 came to Jesus and said, what happened? What happened? And Jesus said, this kind doesn't come out except by prayer and fasting. What do you mean by that? Now don't get lost in the picture. Don't get lost in the picture. Prayer, laying hold of the Lord. Fasting, letting go of everything else. Illustrated by letting go of a meal or a lunch. Fasting is letting go. Jesus said, this kind does not come out except by prayer and fasting. If that's true, and it is, somebody prayed and fasted. Who was it? It wasn't a nine. Could have been Jesus. He always had that hard attitude. I'm suggesting it was the Father. I think when he said, I believe, he prayed. And when he said, help my unbelief, he fasted. And I think Jesus was saying, you have in you the answer to your son's problem. You don't need people. You don't need professional servants. Inside of you, you have Christ himself. Bring it to the Lord. Trust him. Let go of everything. And watch him work. I am not the servant. He's the servant. I have no authority. I have him who has all authority. We need to develop that a little more, and we'll pick that up in our next lesson. Let me close in prayer. Father, thank you for your precious word, not what we think it is, what it means. We want you to work in our hearts everything you've inspired it to mean, whether I mentioned it or not. We thank you in advance that you're doing it. Continue to do it. Thank you for Mark's revelation of Christ. Lord, you are the amazing servant. You do live in our heart. You have all authority in heaven and on earth. And we have the privilege of trusting you to do it through us. Make these things real. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
So about 4 to 5, we'll start. We have 15 minutes. You want to use the restroom?
Ish.
A.M. P.M.